Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, August 18th, 1985. May the Lord bless as we worship Him together in spirit and in truth. We love you. This time our choir is singing a number that we haven't sung probably in quite a while, but I tell you, it's a wonderful song. It has a lot of wonderful words in it. It says, "Great is thy faithfulness." And certainly we need to be faithful to the Lord as we look to Him daily. As Brother Tom comes to lead the choir. Thing we can rest assured of, God is going to be faithful. Thank God for that. Great is His faithfulness. Today we'd like to turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. for our scripture reading. This time I'd like to give some prayer requests. I'm sure Brother White today is in Prestonsburg with their daughter. So that'd be one prayer request. So I should be praying for her, Joanne Calhoun. And I had Brother White down to read her scripture for us today, but I'd say they're in Prestonsburg this morning with their daughters, I said. Also, Jesse and Ricky and Donnie's grandma is going to be having surgery this week. Fanny Davis, she's already gone to Lexington. Let's be praying for her. She has back surgery this week. Also, the family of Edward Walker. This is Marie Collins' son-in-law who went into eternity this past week. Let's be praying for them. We stopped over at Vass's and Ms. Reynolds this morning and had prayer with them. Vass is still recuperating from her second surgery, and she'll be having a third surgery sometime. So let's be praying for them as she continues to gain physical strength as well as spiritual strength. Murdy Caldwell is in the hospital at this time. Can pray for Brother Lafer Giles, who many of you know him. He travels to Corbin three days a week to the doctor. And we'll have to do that probably until he goes to be with the Lord. Let's be praying for Brother Lafford. Also, Mrs. Jeanette Barker and Ms. Maud Barker. Anna Campbell in North Carolina. Brother Combs, his wife, Melda in the nursing home. Farmer Miller also in the nursing home. Claude and Allie Deaton and also Jonathan Honchel. And probably many of you have prayer requests today. Unspoken request and so forth. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, wherefore also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Father, we lift up each of these dear people that we've mentioned in prayer. Those who are physically ill, Lord, we know you're able to bless in their condition. Also, Lord, we would pray for those who are spiritually ill today, wherever they may be. The lost people around the airport gardens area here on our mission field. Father, we pray that you would bless us as a church to be all that you'd have us to be individually as well as collectively. Father, help us to be a light here in this place, a light that shines in a dark place. And Father, help us to know that all things work together for good to those who love thee, to those who are the called according to your purpose. We just thank thee, Father, for what you're going to do in this service today as we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymn, let's turn to page 48. Let's stand and sing all three verses. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Some prayer, Brother Jerry.
Gracious Heavenly Father, bless you for this here today. God bless our pastor as he brings forth your word. Father, bless each one that gives a part of their life. Bless your will, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
the song that we started our afternoon service off with this past Sunday afternoon. Some of the words of that song say, "Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire." And certainly we as God's people need to have our soul, our heart, warmed up to the things of the Lord. Today we'd like to speak from especially the 9th verse of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Y'all didn't have a song for us, did you? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We'd like to read that verse again. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Today we'd like to speak on the signs of a live church. The church is alive and well. Jesus said to Simon Peter, first of all, had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to him, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And what Jesus was saying there, upon what you have said, "I am the Christ, the Son of the living God," upon that statement, I am going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A few years ago, our family went to Logan, West Virginia, to hear the I Love America rally from the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. They sang a song entitled, "The Church Triumphant." The Church Triumphant is alive and well. That was worth getting back home about 3 a.m. just to hear that one song. Much less all the other songs that we heard that night. The church triumphant. Someday the Lord is going to come back for the church. Notice I said for the church. I believe there are saved people in all denominations. I said Wednesday night in our Bible study, when you and I get to heaven, the Lord is not going to say to us, or God is not going to say to us, "What denomination did you belong to down on the earth?" If you and I are saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't believe the Lord has any half-brothers and half-sisters. I don't believe that. And I love you today. The Lord loves you. And my prayer is that if you're not a Christian yet, that today would be the day when you would say yes to the Holy Spirit that would be knocking at your heart's door. The Lord is someday coming back for the church. And He loved the church enough. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The Lord's coming back someday for the church. The church will be here when Jesus returns for it. As I said before, part of the church today is up there, and part of the church is down here. And it's going to be a wonderful day when the church will be together. We'll be together. upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is the head of the body of the church. Are you a member of His body? Another verse in Ephesians 5 said, we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. You can't get any closer than that. We're members of Christ's body if we're saved, if we know Him. The signs of a live church. We are placed here in airport gardens to be loud in a dark place and salt in a world that needs seasoning. Would you like to live in a community where there were no Christians? Would you? The church needs to be a very important place. I'm talking about the building now. I know the building is not the church. You and I are the church. We make up the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. But I believe the place where we meet should play a very important part in our lives. As we meet here to fellowship, to look up and get our batteries recharged for the week. There is no better way to start a new week than the beginning in the Lord's house. Right? I believe that, or I wouldn't have said it. It's wonderful to begin a new week in the Lord's house, to get our batteries recharged as we look forward to what God is going to do through each one of us this week. What is God going to do in your life? Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, all this week. What is God going to do in my life? He wants to work through each one of us. We are alive if we're saved. I like what the 24th verse of chapter 2 of 1 Peter says. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, Christians, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. The Lord wants us to live this week, to bring honor and glory to Him. Thank God we can. I saw two fellows this past week who used to be in our Sunday school. Estelle and Brian Barnett. Some of you younger ones here that used to pal around with them, and they lived at Hilton, you know them. Estelle spoke to me as I walked down the aisle, walked down the hallway down to the hospital. And you know what Estelle told me? He said, I'm a Christian now. He said, I've been saved in Father, Lord, and baptism. He's met the Lord. And Brian also said he was a Christian. My friends, the Lord is reaching out and reaching down and lifting people and saving them and putting the Holy Spirit in their life. The signs of a live church. Their key verse is going to be the 9th verse. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe the first sign of a live church is that we need to have a strong sense of who we are. We need to know who we are. We're God's people if we're saved. We have a high calling. I like the song that was Mrs. Combs' favorite song, Higher Ground. We have a high calling today to walk on the highway and not on the low way. I'm pressing on the upward way. The upward way. Peter says here, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Today we need to know who we are. I know this message is mainly to Christians, but I trust if you're not saved yet, that you'll listen as well. That the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, as well as to those who are saved. I believe this gives a good description of who a Christian is. A chosen generation. Jesus said to the disciples one day, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Every Christian can go to God in prayer through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need any priest down here on this earth to go through. We have a great high priest, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, that is in the heavens, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a great high priest he is. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. The Bible says in Hebrews that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He loves us. He cares about the needs that we have. Did you know what? You don't have a need so great except what our great high priest is greater than any need we'll ever have. The church is made up of born again, blood washed children of God. Born again. Peter said that we're peculiar. I want to hurry along and say this. We are not as peculiar as we should be. If we're not very careful, we're not as peculiar as we should be. There were two men. One said to the other one, let's go witness him. And they walked up one street and down another and came back to the same place. The other one said, I thought we were going witnessing. The other one said, we have been witnessing. Just by the life that we live should be a witness. As you and I walk down the streets of Hazard or any other city, people need to know that we're saved. Just by looking at the walk and listening to the talk that we have. We need to have a strong sense of who we are. We're God's people if we're saved. Peter said that we're peculiar. There is no one else in the world like a Christian. He's alive. Really alive. Because he is attached to the vine. The first message I ever preached was back in 1957 at a youth leadership conference. The Lord gave me a message from John 15 where Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Why is a Christian peculiar? They are attached to the vine. They are a branch. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has grafted us in to the vine, who is Jesus. Thank God for that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What Paul is saying here in Ephesians is that we need to grow up. We need to grow in the Christian life. Isaiah 55 even says it like this, let your soul delight itself in fatness. By feeding on the Word of God. We don't need to be any more children tossed to and fro. There are many winds of doctrine going around. But Paul says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. You know what? You and I can speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know what? If all God's children just did His will on Sunday, it would be something that could be accomplished for the cause of Christ in the world. We're saved to serve. We're told to tell. Brother Earl's mother stood right here behind this pulpit at the close of our vacation Bible school one year. And she presented to the church, she and another lady, presented to the church the two signs that we have back here in the back. One of them says, enter to worship. And the other one says, depart to serve. My friend, when you and I leave this church today, if we're saved, we're departing to serve the Lord this week. His Holy Spirit is in our hearts to strengthen, to care for us in many ways. We're saved to serve, and we're told to tell. I want each one of us to take a long look at ourselves today and see what we see. Do we like what we see? God's Word is a mirror, and it tells it like it is. We need to know who we are. And also, second, we need to know why we are who we are. We need to know why we are. You know what Peter says here in the last part of verse 9? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Every saved person today is on a mission, carrying a message of hope and love and forgiveness. I like what 1 John says. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We need today to know why we are who we are. We need to show forth. I believe this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. Salt is very important. Salt does a lot of things. Physical salt, I'm talking about. Salt even puts out fire. Ye are the salt of the earth. We need to put out fire. Fires of doubt and so forth. How salty are we? How much light am I giving out? How much light are you giving out here in this world? Paul said in Ephesians 4, again, the first three verses, he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The Christian life is a vocation. It's a calling. It is not a hobby done when there's nothing else to do. As we've been trying to stress during the last few Sundays, the Christian life is a life lived on Monday as well as on Sunday. It's a vocation, not an avocation. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. The word forbearing means to put up with each other. To put up with each other. We don't have long here. At the longest. What is 60, 70, 80 years compared to trillions of years? We don't have long here. We need to forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to be doing all we can to keep peace and harmony and love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the last part of verse 22 says, "See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." And last, in closing our message today, we need to know, we need to have a strong sense of where we are. We're in the world. I preached a message a few Sundays ago, and I said this. When the church is in the world, that's all right. That's the way it should be. But when the world gets in the church, that could be disastrous. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Someday we're going to be out of this world. Just as sure as we're in the Lord's house today, Jesus is coming back. I don't know when it's going to be, but that is called in the book of Titus, the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming. But until He does come, we need to realize where we are. We're in the world to be salt and to be a light. The Daily Bread said it like this one time. If we'll let our light shine, God will see to it that it's put where it can be seen. Let your light shine before men and women, boys and girls, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul said in Philippians, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." We're to shine here. A little course says, brighten the corner where you are. People that meet us along the pathways of life should be better off because they have met us. Because we have been a light and a testimony. We need to realize today who we are, why we are, and where we are. The Bible says this about the Lord, "I am the Lord, I change not." In Malachi 3:6, with God behind you, and His arms beneath you, you can face whatever lies ahead of you. A thought in the Daily Bread. I thank the wonderful God today. I thank Jesus for dying for me on the cross. Without Him, we could do nothing. My prayer for you this morning, if you're saved, is that you'll realize who you are. You're light. You're soft. You're peculiar. A royal priesthood and holy nation. While we are, show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're in the world. And Jesus said we need to walk worthy. Paul said this in the book of Philippians, book of Ephesians, rather. We need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. I don't know how you came to church this morning, what your attitude was, what your standing with God is, but I know this, God knows all about us. He knows all about me. He knows they're down sitting and they're uprising, the Bible says. He knows our thoughts are far off. We're not fooling anyone. We're sure not fooling God. Before we have our invitation, I want to say this. We need to be genuine. We need to be the same on Sunday as we are on Monday. The Lord wants us to be genuine. He wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. I'd like to ask Brother Tom to come to lead us in our invitation hymn, Just As I Am. 217, if you need the words. Charlotte Elliott wrote this song years ago. A pastor said to her one day, "You need to come just as you are." And that inspired her to write this song. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Whatever your need is, we're going to stand down here in front. Whatever your need is today, we'd be glad to talk to you about it as we stand to sing. I believe one of the lies of the devil is, wait a while. Wait a while. That second stanza there we just got through singing said, "Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot." The devil says, wait. Jesus says, today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today you need the Lord. Let's sing the third stanza, Brother Tommy.